Reality. Welcome back to Strange Reality, the Paranormal Mystery Science Podcast. With me again, I have my good friend Alex.
What's up?
I love that. That's
Hi,
awesome.
My name is Alex.
Yeah, he was. I have a beard. He was here on. Yes, Alex with a beard, and he was here for our Black Eyed Children episode. But he has decided to return for Spooky Month, and today we're going to be talking
Damn
about.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad you could come, but today we're going to be talking about the haunted film or the haunted film. What would you categorize it? A haunted film or the haunted film?
Well, I don't know a whole lot about haunted films, so to me, this is the haunted film.
Yeah, today we're going to be talking about the movie Return to Babylon, directed by Alex Monte Cantawati.
Weird.
Yeah, we want a weird name, but
it's Cantawati.
Cantawati, yeah, my bad. I didn't mean to fuck up the pronunciation, but so Cantawati, he is obviously a filmmaker, and the way this movie was made was he set out to make a silent film, silent black and white film, and right. Him and another filmmaker. And this is the part that to me, it just kind of puts this into like the hoax category for me, only because he set out to make a silent film with another filmmaker friend of his, and by happenstance, along Hollywood Boulevard, they just come across 19 rolls of like old film to use just, for the silent. Because they, I mean,
what do you mean just come across though?
Well, I mean that's what I'm saying. So unless you want to, you know, consider that there's otherworldly possibilities, the fact that like they. And by the way, this movie came out in 2013. So it came out in 2013, but because they used old film and they used hand cracked cameras, it looks like it's from the 1920s, which was, like I said, the intention. He wanted to create a silent film. Now, what made this production, this movie, so weird is that because he used very, very old film to create this film, and honestly, his cast for this movie, like, not even that bad. Like he built it. Yeah. Like, I think the biggest name might have been like Jennifer Tilly, but so one of the reasons why it's called the most haunted film is that at least during more so post production of this movie, when it was being edited, Cantawati discovered that some of the faces on camera would distort themselves and women would appear to have beards for no reason.
Really?
I think he actually quotes it as saying that they started looking like Jesus. Yeah, it's really weird. I'm looking at some of the images. You can watch the whole movie for free on YouTube if you want. It's called Return to Babylon. And the fact that, like I said, during the editing process, they discovered that a lot of these faces during scenes were, like, distorting into, like, and contorting into, like, weird demonic faces. I think a couple faces in particular, they were morphing into, like, more animal-like anomalies, which is kind of weird.
That was all while they were editing the movie?
Yeah, so it didn't show up during like normal filming. I think some of the cast members and crew, they claim that they were experiencing kind of weird paranormal phenomenon while filming, but I don't think that anything, like, no evidence of that really came into fruition until they actually started editing the footage after filming was wrapped up.
That's really wild, though. Like, I couldn't imagine, like, especially for, like, editors, a 2012, 2011 editor sitting in front of everything,
yeah,
editing doing, this, like, actual film.
Like, pretty much a low-budget film, especially when, like, they probably all they really had was, like, iMovie back then. Like, that's all they really, that's all, well, I mean, I don't mean, like, movies in general, but no. Those two specifically.
Right.
So, Cantawati and his producer, and his editor, but... Yeah, so some of the claims, sorry guys, I'm getting over a cold. Now, according to some of the cast, including Jennifer Tilly and Debbie Mazar, it wasn't long before strange things began happening on the set of the film. Actors and actresses reported feeling otherworldly, oppressive entities lurking about, and in some cases, many of the crew claim to have been reached out and grabbed by unseen hands more than a few times. Now, this bizarre activity continued for the duration of principal photography, so that's kind of more in the post-production sense. Now, what the actors didn't know that was that Cantawati and his crew started to notice strange things in the editing room. Mysterious figures began appearing in the negatives. Sometimes they were just bizarre shadows, but other times they were much less ambiguous.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. So I'm showing Alex some pictures, but yeah. So they're definitely very weird, and it's not as if, like, they had the technique to kind of pull some of this off with how old a film they were using.
Right.
Which kind of adds to, like, because this is considered the haunted film, but the fact that they wanted to make a movie about, like, old, is basically, the movie is actually about old 1920s Hollywood. And the fact that they wanted to make a silent film and they just by happenstance came across, like, just all these rolls of unused film to make the movie. It was just, it's very, very weird.
Well, so the film itself was from the time then.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? It was like back from the early 1900s. So that makes me also wonder, like, especially that one image of it's a lady. She almost appears to have like two faces. One's really distorted. How much of that comes from the actual quality of the film itself?
You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, so it really is just one of those things where, and because I've looked online, I've done some research, and there's really not a whole lot beyond the fact that this is considered like a haunted film, but there's really nothing in terms of like anything being proven nor disproven. There's really nothing about the story in of itself that much, at least in terms of what I've read and what I've researched. It's just a story of Kenawanti wanted to make a film, found old like 1900s film to make the movie with, and then subsequently a lot of these weird paranormal and phenomena kept happening while filming, according to the cast members, and then of course during the editing process. But anything beyond that is kind of just like, it's kind of just there. It that's what it's regarded as, is a haunted film, but there's really nothing beyond that. Like, that it's just one of those things where paranormal enthusiasts like ourselves know about it, but it's not something super duper substantial, at least not to me, only because it just seems like too much of a coincidence.
No, right. And I mean, this is honestly, you coming to me with this earlier this week is the first time I've even actually heard of like this film and it being this notorious haunted film. So I haven't really seen anybody really like dive too much into it either, you know?
Yeah. Which I think let me give a shout out. My friend, Haley Valenta, she actually suggested this topic for us today. So I just want to give her a shout out. She submitted an idea for an episode, and, I thought it was cool. And then we ran with it. I think that when she told me about the idea about what this was, she told me about Return to Babylon. I think I remember seeing maybe like an episode about it, like on, as much as I hate the History Channel, it's probably on the History Channel like years ago. But so like I have little exposure to like this film. I didn't know anything really about it. Just I know that it was haunted. But once I did research for the episode, I was like, this story just seems very, I don't know. It's just very, the story in of itself is movie like. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. No, definitely. Like it almost like, it's got more of this tale beyond the screen than it does even like the actual story itself in the movie.
It almost, to me, it feels like that the fact that a director wanted to make a silent black and white film, found that film, and then that film became like the haunted film. That idea just sounds like that entire idea from start to finish sounds like a whole movie.
Yeah.
Like beyond like Return to Babylon, like it would be a movie about the making of that movie, if that makes sense. But
well, like it almost, you know, like it almost looks, it has this like feel of like modern art, you know, where like it's not so much about the painting, it's about the story behind the painting. And it's kind of what you're getting with this movie. You know, it's not so much what you're hearing about the movie itself or the story in the movie. You're getting a lot more about the production of the movie and what happened to the people in the movie.
Yeah, so while walking back to his car one night, he came upon a bag of what appeared to be trash. But after looking in the bag, he found a case of factory-sealed black and white film. Now, that's how Return to Babylon came to be. As strange as it is to find 19 rolls of unopened black and white film, it's nothing compared to what he would find, like I said, when he was like editing the raw footage. So, like, I almost want to say, because reading the story and in like kind of looking at some of the clips and some of like the distortions from the film, it just feels too, it feels too like the whole narrative feels too movie like.
It feels produced. 100%.
Does feel produced. I feel like the fact that he was trying to claim that this movie was haunted was like a publicity scheme. I don't want to say that because I want to believe it. But at the same time, it's like, it just seems like such a like caricaturized version of like, of a film.
Yeah, it's definitely. Well, even like you watch the movie or you see some of the images, you know, a lot of it is spooky in itself already. You know, they have a lot of like the horror faces, you know.
Like. Yeah, but those to me look like something you would see on like the X-Files.
It's very true.
Or like even like during if you were watching American Horror Story.
Well, that brings up the question then too. You know, how much did what's his name Kanawati want this to kind of go beyond the screen? You know.
Yeah.
Instead of just it being the movie, I feel like. Kind of like we were saying before, he's like really tried to produce it as a whole thing, like around it.
Yeah. And I think, and Alex Kanawati has like said, and that because of the film that he has like, that he like got criticism and like, you know, fell on financial hardship and like he had like a very tough relationship with his family because of it. Because the criticism he was getting for it, that it was like one big hoax to try to like, you know, like boost publicity. And let me just say this. Yes, like this, I guess this movie is famous among like a lot of really big like paranormal enthusiasts, like I said before. But at the same time, it's like, I don't think that movie got like any commercial success at all.
No.
Like it was pretty much like that there was the story, but that was about it. Like you can't really find any new, like actually mainstream news articles about it. Everything you're going to find is going to be like on paranormal blogs and on Reddit and things like that.
I was going to say, kind of like looking into like the background of some of the things that had happened. Media had released some interviews that they had with like even Jennifer Tilly. She did have a couple reports of feeling watched or touched while filming. Or the actual actors like seeing these like elongated figures or creepy shadows like in the background of their shots, not even just on the film, but like, you know, say they're like looking at like you or me and just popping up in the background.
Right.
Which could be super eerie. But, you know, if the director himself's falling on hard times and really needs that money, this could all be an all around publicity stunt.
But the fact that he builds such like a pretty big cast, that's what's weird to me.
That's fair.
Not that it's like, okay, not to say they're huge stars, but for them to be a part of like such like a low budget film like this, it's really weird. It's kind of shocking to me that they were kind of a part of that project, especially Jennifer Tilly, who's like, I wouldn't say A-list, but what category would you put her in? Would you put her in like S tier?
No, but you know, she's definitely like,
B.
Yeah, she's a strong B list actress.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, so the have her in like B list is kind of like, it just seems weird, but yeah, so but that's like, now it just kind of comes really comes down to like, is it fake or is it real?
Well, with how unnoticed it went when it came out, the movie had what was that? A $2 million budget? No. Yeah. Only $2 million budget. So that's really low end for.
Which I'm actually surprised it had that much.
Right. I mean, most of that money had to just go towards the talent.
Well, I think they made the movie Saw with like $1 million. I think even like half a million.
What, did somebody just have a creepy ass basement like that? Like, what?
Well, yeah, because they utilized the budget pretty well because it was filmed like mostly in that bathroom. So, and that made like a boatload of money. So I think that was, I mean, that, yeah, because that came out after Saw, I believe. But,
and it could have been a bite at, you know, Return to Babylon could have been a bite at trying to kind of bring forward like the silent movie horror genre.
Right.
You know, kind of follow in like a Saw footstep, you know, a low budget, but very but like, creepy.
But unintentionally.
That's true.
Yeah, it was kind of unintentional because the movie's just about 1920s Hollywood.
It's not like spooky or scary.
No, like, no, yeah. I don't. And if it is, it's like almost satirical.
Okay.
Yeah. So
there's also the one image that you have.
Oh, it's like the swamp creature or whatever.
Right. So that's clearly like that had to have been from the shot like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they were shooting that and it almost looks like they were going for the spooky thing. Really, I got to sit down and watch this movie, really get a feel for, you know, what's going on in the story to kind of see.
Yeah, because we should definitely watch it because, I mean, I've seen like clips of it online and I've just kind of like kind of looked at like some of like the more apparent like facial distortions that people are claiming.
Yeah.
And the fact that even out of Alex Kanawati's own mouth is like that women were morphing into Old Testament like biblical figures.
That's
is really yes, really what he claims, which is an odd claim to make, but it's, I mean, long hair and like a long beard. I mean, I guess they look like Moses, but
but I couldn't imagine too, you know, like especially somebody like him, you know, he's got a few different movies, stuff that I can't really say I've ever heard of.
I think he's got like 4 movies to his name.
What is it? He's got Inevitable Grace, came out in 94. Birth of Babylon, which, when did that even come out? IMDb. Oh, 99. There you go. It's a short. So, I mean, you have somebody who's, you know, relatively up to date on at least modern film editing, things like that. So I still like, that always brings me back to, you know, how much experience do they have with this old black and white film? How many things could have happened while developing that, you know? And editing it.
A lot of the theme of his films is centered around Hollywood, like the stories of Hollywood.
He sounds desperate.
Well, yeah, no kidding. Which I kind of feel bad. I wonder what, let's see, let's look at his directing credits. Now he's done, in 1990, his first film was a short and it was called The Short Night. And then he directed a movie in 91 called The Fallen Idol. And then in 94, Inevitable Grace. And then in 98, All About Alfred, which is a documentary.
Yeah, is that about Hitchcock? Almost.
Oh, it doesn't say. IMDb doesn't give a...
Of course.
Doesn't give a
you look at some of those names. No, it's definitely about Alfred Hitchcock because those are a lot of his old actors.
Oh, wait. Yeah, here we go. Oh, I guess so. What else? So he's got two films that are, one of them is called Citizens and it's apparently in post-production
right now.
It looks like it.
Okay.
A tale of disaffected youth chasing the elusive Hollywood dream of fame and fortune. So yeah, there's another one of the, he actually stars in this movie.
Aw. Gotta save on that budget.
I guess so. Let's see. What's the budget for this? If it'll tell me. No, it won't tell me.
No.
The official site has a Facebook page.
That's all wow. It says is official Facebook
for that's the site. Yeah, this wow. guy is 100% like
he's an independent.
He's a very filmmaker. Very very much independent filmmaker. Like, and I think that this is really the only claim to fame is the fact that he happened to make this, which is why I'm saying that I don't
makes me skeptical.
Yeah, it makes me skeptical. And but I can't find any real rational reason as like to why he was finding things like that, like in the editing process.
I'm thinking lack of experience with the materials and also probably going bust on actually making it, you know, like, okay, cool. I made this flop of a movie, but I need publicity. I need some sort of income. I need the money off of this somehow. What can I do?
Yeah.
Let's make a story about the filming of the movie. I mean, he even has, you know, one of his documentaries is about Alfred Hitchcock. Like,
yeah. So he's definitely like, he's versed in the horror genre for sure.
Right.
And the fact that now, like I said, I like to ask the question of maybe on this podcast, but for this particular story, for them to make the claim that it is the haunted film, and the fact that at least among enthusiasts, it is like, you know, revered as that, I don't really see it that much.
My big question for the maybe then is, I mean, if this is 2013, it's modern times, YouTube's around, this guy clearly has a camera, come out and say something.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's all like information coming off,
which
you know, internet stories and things like that.
Yeah.
Where, you know, is this guy like coming forward and like really digging into, you know, what happened behind the scenes on this movie, or is he just sitting back quiet and letting the story kind of build itself?
Which the latest article I can really find on it, as opposed, and aside from like things like this podcast and other paranormal podcasts that are touching on the subject as well, in terms of like actual information about it, or like the last like publication that was made about it, I want to say like 2015.
Really?
2 years after the film's release.
Right. So it just completely fell off then.
Yeah. It fell, especially in the, like in the mainstream eye. Yeah, for sure. Because I mean, like as much as like Alex likes the subject matter, I mean, he didn't even hear of it until I brought it up.
Like, but not even once.
Yeah. I think that I really just heard about it on the History Channel, as much as I just hate the History Channel or like sci-fi or fucking National Geographic, whichever one. But
no, when you first brought this to me too, you know, you told me it was this black and white film based in the 30s. And then you were like, but it's made in 2011. I was like, oh, okay. You see, if it was back then, I'd find this all a little bit more plausible just because back then they didn't have any way of recording the post-production information, you know, like everything that happened behind the scenes, you know, that's all going to skew over the last 70 years where this was not even 10 years ago. Like,
and yeah, and some of the claim and like, and I understand, and really what I'm going to have to take away from this episode and from the story is the fact that the actors themselves were claiming that they were experiencing like, you know, paranormal things while filming. Now them, I believe, only because like, especially people like Jennifer Tilly or Debbie Mazar or whatever, there's really no reason to fake this.
Right.
I mean, they're already like, they're pretty decent actresses. So it's like,
but
him, I could see for sure.
Yeah.
Because he's just an independent filmmaker. He's tiny. Like he's made very small, short budget films. And the fact that, you know, his last movie, his last real movie to date, the last movie he's ever released has gotten like that a little bit of attention. And the fact that he,
get it,
the fact that he like got this level of scrutiny from like other filmmakers in his own family, it kind of adds to the fact that like maybe you were bending the truth a little bit.
Right.
Maybe it was kind of a publicity stunt. Maybe it was kind of like a way to get this movie off the ground and really try to solidify yourself as a legitimate filmmaker and try to show like, hey, like look at the,
And then it flopped right back in his face though.
Yeah, exactly.
Cause where I'm getting more skepticism from too, is like what I'm seeing for even these tales from the actors and actresses is it's coming from media releases where you have Tippi Hedren in this. She has come forward about birds before, about Alfred Hitchcock's birds, you know, and talked about how awful things were. There's like recorded proof, like videos of like talking with her about it, where you think if all this kind of stuff was happening on the set of this movie, if she was experiencing things, she would have been the first to blow the whistle.
Yeah.
You know? So,
because, and I will say that the Alfred Hitchcock, like also, if you want to put Stanley Kubrick into that ring too, those two filmmakers, especially in the horror genre, are like notorious for kind of putting their actors like through the ringer.
Just through absolute hell, yeah. You know? And that's where, Yeah, okay, so if this stuff did happen on set, how much of it was Kanawati kind of just messing with his actors and actresses?
Yeah.
You know, and just the fact that Tippi Hedren is in this is really getting me now, you know? And
yeah,
this dude's like got his own documentary about Alfred Hitchcock. Like, what is he, his grandkid or something?
Like, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like he, it really, and as much as I want to believe that something like this exists, my bullshit meter is it's pretty far in the red. Yeah. It's like I don't really think I believe a whole lot of this. I think that
it's entertaining.
It's definitely entertaining. It's
very entertaining.
And right, the fact that like the more exposure to paranormal related material there is, the happier I get knowing that that this is becoming something that people are actually willing to talk about, whether it's negative or positive.
Right. Especially in cinema, you know.
Yeah, especially in cinema. But the only thing I think, yeah, like you said before, he just bad handling of the materials. I think that his editing process for using such old film.
If his claim to this old film is true, I don't think there's anybody nowadays who, unless like they're from that time, who's going to know how to handle it.
Right.
And if it is that old, like how delicate do you have to be?
Right.
You know, like you got Mr. Broke running his $2 million budget.
Which is seems ridiculously high.
Well, how much is he paying that editor?
Well, he's probably paying all the actors that much.
Right. So
that's probably where the entire budget went into.
Probably got his brother-in-law editing it.
Yeah, know,
the
that's,
guy
that's
probably.
It's like, a very good point. A
couple little overexposures there, just because like a lot of those faces and stuff like that, like that distortion, I could definitely see it coming from an editing process.
Yeah, like, but not one that is from like the film being paranormal or cursed.
No, right.
From just a simple, like it just faulty editing.
Exactly. Or yeah, you look at some more of the stills itself, like, you know, even just the regular acting itself. It's definitely got this like spooky vibe, but even with that kind of film, you can see in the background of some of these stills, just how dark it is and trying to expose light on those really dark shots,
right, you know,
can really like mess with things quite a bit.
Yeah, it's in like looking at more images and even like when I saw some more clips, I think that like the whole bearded thing that was like Kanawati's like whole thing is like, oh, these women are like, you know, appearing like they're Old Testament like men or whatever. It's like it's really not that compelling to me,
right?
The way like the film is and the distortion and light exposure and like the fact they have long hair blowing in their face, and it might just be creating this weird like shadow that's like tricking the viewer into thinking that there's like that they're turning into men, that they're distorting into like biblical men.
Right. Well, there's even back to like another image. There's this guy with his cheeks puffed out. His eyes look like they're rolled back in white. That all can be completely lost in editing.
Yeah.
Like when you're handling like true film in a dark room, like old film and no experience with it whatsoever, or just having little experience, like the delicate hand that you have to kind of deal with this stuff.
Even if you look at things like The Wizard of Oz, you can find some weird stuff in that movie too. Mm-hmm. So it's just, yeah, I think if we're going to have our conclusion, would you call this like kind of a bullshit claim? Or how about this? In the very least, just unintentionally.
I think it's very intentional. I think it's a bullshit claim. And I think it's intentionally claimed for publicity.
Okay.
To try and get some money back in the pocket.
I will say, I don't want to call anyone like a liar necessarily, but I will
call
say
a fucking liar.
I mean, all right, you heard it here first, folks. I think what I will say is, if you handled the film during the editing process just badly, like you just didn't know how it worked, and like you said, like whoever his editor was, he was probably like nobody of value. Not that editors, you know, of any capacity are bad, but if he's only made like four films and like they've all been like shorts or documentaries or something like that, he probably doesn't have a high budget editor who knows how to handle this. So I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt and try to say that it might have been like unintentional.
Yeah.
I think that he might have. I would say that maybe he knew that he, like, some of the distortions that he was seeing in the editing process were, you know, a product of the film and, like, just being unable to handle it or mishandling it. But I think that he also took that as an opportunity to be like, oh, well, I mean, this could get passed off as, like, paranormal.
So the editor for this, too, was Yesenia Santos. There's not a drop on this woman on IMDb or anything.
Okay. So no name at all.
None. So, you know, you have.
It's probably like just this. His friend.
Right. You know, yeah. And you'd think if somebody, especially like making a movie about Hollywood in Hollywood with this kind of film, it's really kind of like prestigious project to take on and handled wrong. Like, this is exactly what you're going to get is these images. You're going to get goofy faces. You're going to get really bad distortions. You're going to get really bad exposures. And, you know, somebody who's going to be able to handle like early 19th century, like, or early 20th century, like film, they're going to have a little bit of a rapport, I imagine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like at least something from, Santa Monica or something like from the colleges, you know, somebody who had gone to some sort of arts, you're going to see them on smaller projects or anything like that, where this person's spotless.
Right. But no, nobody.
No.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty much just like, I think it's pretty much like our take on it. It's just like, we've kind of like examined the so-called evidence and I don't find it really like compelling. I think there's too much motive behind trying to like, you know, you've made a couple of movies and you were probably, you know, dying, like, or maybe not dying, but in dire straits to get like money and your name on the board and make it as a filmmaker. And
a lot of these,
I don't think it was done maliciously.
No,
but
sounds like the story of a broke man, though.
Yeah.
He's
trying to create like a rags to riches story.
Right. Because I feel like even looking around, doing some research, a lot of the reports that you're hearing are from him and the actors.
Right.
You know, it's nobody from the outside. There's no dude who's behind the camera who's over here just like blowing up Reddit with his story or something like that, you know.
No, it really wasn't that big.
No, it really wasn't. And a lot of like the firsthand accounts are from the actors or him. And that is, makes me that much more skeptical.
But they were, and to add to that, there were only claims of being watched or like eerie feelings or like a feeling of like,
a feeling of being touched.
Yeah. Paranoia, things like that. It's like, that's really, it's just very.
From a director that like idolizes Hitchcock.
Yeah, that's
He probably made the set feel that way.
Yeah, and the fact that those claims are very just standard, the standard, like, ghost story, like, cliche, hacky, like, oh, I had this feeling of being touched. I had this feeling I was being watched. It's like, yeah, I understand you could feel that way, but it's like, that's there's too much that could be explained as to why you feel that way.
No,
more than like definitely outside the realm of paranormal. So, I mean, yeah, so
it's about it.
It's about it. Like, it's not, like I said,
telling you
it's big, but it's not at the same time. It's like,
I would like to see a deeper dive into it.
Yeah. From somebody else or something like that. But
somebody like,
yeah. What there really is right now is really not a whole lot.
No, I'd love to see like some interviews with Jennifer Tilly. I'd love to see somebody get Tippi Hedren's opinion on it. I'd like to see Alex Kanawati on film talking about this. Like, you give me your story, buddy. Let me look you in the eyeballs through my computer screen.
He does. He does have like a video of him explaining it, but it's not like, it's just what I imagine you just find if he's just like, oh yeah, this movie that I made, it was all creepy and weird. It's not like an interview with the press. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with this. It's probably a hoax.
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 Definitely.
All right. Well,
I agree.
I guess we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, if you have any information on Return to Babylon or your own opinion,
yeah,
write to Kyle here.
Yeah. Right.
I'd love to hear some opinions on this.
Yeah. Write in, because I'm actually kind of curious. Because yeah, I'm gonna just go ahead and say this is a hoax.
Yep.
I apologize for my voice cracking, by the way. I'm getting over a cold. And
it's okay. Puberty happens to everybody.
You asshole. All right. Well, I'll see you guys later. And have a spooky night, I guess.
Enjoy Halloween.
There you go. See you guys later.
Reality.